The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai, episode 156. Welcome to The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai. I'm your host, Dr. Yishai Barkadari, psychologist and adaptability coach to entrepreneurs and business leaders. I believe that working on your business is more important than working in your business. If you want to achieve your business goals and dreams without the cost and pain of having to make every mistake yourself, then The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai is the podcast for you. I'm here to help you learn from the lessons of entrepreneurs and business leaders to help you work on yourself and your business so that you can save time, energy, and grow faster. For those of you new to the show, The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai presents 3 new episodes each week. On Insight Sunday, we dive into the minds of business leaders through insightful guest interviews. On Story Tuesday, we dig deeper with them and learn firsthand from their stories, hard-earned lessons, and experience. On Thrive Thursday, it's just you and me on the couch, where you'll hear scientific research, my thoughts, and tangible tactics to adapt and grow yourself and your business. Grab a proverbial seat and listen up so you can learn from the minds and mistakes business leaders and apply their wisdom to your life and business.
Welcome to Thrive Thursday with Dr. Yishai. This week on the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai, I had Alicia Butler-Pierre, founder and CEO of Equilibria Inc., best-selling author of Behind the Facade, How to Structure Company Operations for Sustainable Success, and host of the Business Infrastructure Curing Back Office Blues podcast. On Insight Sunday, episode 154, Alicia shares her story of going from chemical engineering technician to entrepreneur, founder, and CEO of Equilibria. She shares shifts in her mindset and thinking along the way that have enabled her to tap into her genius to overcome adversity and create opportunity. On Story Tuesday, episode 155, Alicia shares lessons she learned from making the mistake of staying in her comfort zone, how she took the leap outside her own backyard, and why it opened her business to a new world of opportunity and success. If you haven't yet, go back and listen to episodes 154 and 155 to learn from a best-selling author, business infrastructure expert, and successful entrepreneur. At the end of episode 155, Alicia asked me how to quiet the noise and pressure from social media. So today I'm sharing my framework to handle social media and other unhelpful, distracting, or stress-inducing pressures in business.
Before we dive in, I wanted to share that the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai is brought to you by Adaptability Coaching and Consulting. If you lead a 7+ figure business and want to reach the next level for yourself and your business, if you have passions, goals, and dreams and want to continue to strive as a team, a leader, and a visionary without risking burnout, if you have overcome challenges, developed wisdom, and know that adapting is not just for surviving, but a core part of thriving, then adaptability coaching is for you. With psychology and neuroscience-backed tools, the 3D adaptation framework can show you how to tap into and harness the way our brains are uniquely designed for adaptation. You can learn to harness and leverage adaptability tools and frameworks to grow yourself and your company. You can learn to become fast, flexible, and formidable. You can learn to hone yourself further, to proactively adapt, to thrive, instead of reactively adapting, just to survive. To learn more, go to dryishai.com/coaching.
Now, without further ado, let's dive into how to handle the pressure, push, and pull of social media. It's shiny. It's seductive. It's stressful. Social media is described as many things with lots of colorful language. And I'm sure I'll get a lot of backlash for saying this. Social media isn't your real problem if you're feeling too much pressure, getting distracted and lost in the noise, or feeling both pulled in and pushed really hard by it. More on that later. 4 years ago, I was speaking with one of my mentors about building an evergreen, self-perpetuating, Google-topping website that generates customers and money. Just a minute or two into my asking him some questions and picking his brain, he launched into a long tangent and a diatribe that didn't make sense to me whatsoever at first. John Morrow, founder and CEO of SmartBlogger, and a wise mentor whose words are worth their weight in gold, and who I always pay attention to when he's speaking, he described and talked about what he calls shiny object syndrome. I bet already by the title, by the name of it, you know what it is, or at least have a sense of that. We can get lost chasing the next shiny, new, hot, trendy, cutting-edge business strategy, and then forget or neglect the core parts of our business. For people who frequently find themselves in this cycle of pursuing the next new trend, it's frustrating and painful, not to mention destructive, potentially, to your core business. You know, at some point, social media was a shiny object for most businesses. Truthfully, even now, it can be a shiny object for many existing businesses. Worse still, it's frequently experienced as a big source of stress and pressure. Posting consistently, even daily or multiple times per day, as a standard or benchmark. Checking likes, shares, comments, and followers, among other metrics and interactions, obsessively. It can become a huge distraction, both in terms of scrolling endlessly to see what your contemporaries and competitors are doing, plus the time and energy you spend working on generating your own content to put out all the time. But the way entrepreneurs and leaders approach social media can be more than a distraction. It can suck time and energy out of your body and your day, and that can leave a lot less to do what you want and need and love to do to accomplish the mission that you set out to accomplish with your company. Social media is often viewed and treated by entrepreneurs and leaders alike as a measuring stick for your success or how big a footprint you and your business are making. It's assumed that having more posts, likes, comments, and hitting specific benchmarks for followers means you're going to make more money or that you're more successful or that your company is going to grow. To unravel and uncover how to handle social media better, we need to dig into the psychology underlying the pull, the noise, and the pressure you experience. To do that, I'm going to share my framework to understand the way you think, react, and interact with social media. I'm going to walk you through how they help understand and explain more deeply about the way that you interact with, relate to, and feel pressured by, and pulled and pushed by social media. Plus, I'm going to give you those three pillars with guiding questions to help you shift and change how you handle shiny, stressful, or even seductive parts of your business so that they're integrated and contribute to your bottom line and your success instead of just pushing, pulling, or causing stress for you in a way that's not productive. So I call this framework the 3M framework, and that's because there are three pillars, three principles, three components, and each one starts with an M. Those three are meaning, measurement, and motivation. And we're going to start by talking about meaning. You know, people often say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And I like to say that meaning is in the eye of the beholder. If you want a book recommendation to dig deeper into meaning and how the way that people ascribe or don't ascribe meaning can spell life or death in the worst of circumstances, I really recommend you read Man's Search for Meaning. If you depend and rely on social media, on posting, on likes, comments, followers, as a validator for you or your business, then you're assigning meaning to each of those posts, likes, comments, or follows. For many people, that process of ascribing that kind of meaning becomes automatic. In fact, in psychology and psychological research, we know how thoughts that repeat over and over again become increasingly automatic and eventually can become so habitual, so ingrained, so fast, and so familiar that we're not even aware of them anymore. When that happens, those automatic thoughts are sometimes referred to as beliefs. I actually spoke to this point in episode 60, which was all about mishandling emotions, in part 2 of a 3-part series that spans episodes 57, 60, and 63. I talked about mistakes people make in mishandling emotions that create and cause more difficulty and can get in the way of accomplishing their business and leadership goals and dreams. So in part 2, one of the first mistakes I talk about is how people make meaning out of emotions and how the meaning they make out of those emotions affects their thoughts and actions, sometimes in very, very unhelpful ways. In the extreme, I've seen entrepreneurs act, feel, and believe in their bones that every post they put out there is putting their entire self and their business on the line, as if getting fewer likes, shares, or comments means that they or their business is minuscule and meaningless. All of that comes from assigning meaning to each post, each like, each comment, or each follow. So what can you do to undo all of that assigned meaning? First, try to slow down Ask yourself how you think or feel when you see a like, a comment, or a new follow. Do you get a jolt of excitement? A feeling of accomplishment? Do you experience yourself and tell yourself that you are growing your business every time you see a new like, comment, or follow? Do you feel like you're fulfilling your vision when one of those things happens? Do you jump to check a new comment, to check how many likes you're getting? Are you seeking, hoping, even maybe secretly wishing that someone will praise your post, that they'll share it? You know, at first, you might think it's absurd to ask those questions or to put it in that kind of context. You might even secretly answer yes in your heart, even though your rational brain might be yelling at you for thinking or holding something so small or so irrelevant as so treasured. Trust me, I've been there and I get it. But that's the start to shifting and creating change. To slow down, to take a look at something, especially when it's uncomfortable, to understand the meaning that you automatically assign each of those pings. Then the next step is to get to work dismantling them. It's okay to have the thought, the feeling, even the rush. You can take the time to experience it, and you can remind yourself that perhaps it is not the end-all, be-all key to success. You can ask yourself, what would you like to assign meaning to? What moments are wins really worth celebrating? How would you like to perceive and experience the pings of social media? As you take a beat, ask yourself these questions and engage in the exercises I outlined above, you might begin to intentionally construct a different way of looking at, experiencing, and even relating to social media. And I mentioned this earlier, social media isn't inherently a shiny, seductive, stressful strategy or tactic for your business. It is a tool, an option, and a potential source of information, perhaps even marketing or research. And it's high time you treat it that way, which leads us to the second M, measurement. If you haven't yet, it's worth going back and listening to episode 24 of this podcast, which is called Be Careful What You Measure. In short, episode 24 is a deep dive into what happens in business and in leadership, or as a result of leadership, when we set a singular measure as a goal and benchmark that specific measure as success or failure. Spoiler, it can be disastrous. I'm telling you, it's worth going back and listening to. When you find yourself feeling pulled and pressured by social media, it may be that you've perhaps even unintentionally set likes, comments, or followers as your success measurement. While those metrics can provide you with valuable information, to treat them as a success measurement may be a massive mistake. One way to help shift that process for yourself is to clarify what the most important key metric or metrics for success are to you and your business. Is it bottom line revenue? Is it growth trends over time? Is it the number of people you impact? Is it your sales? All of those are just ideas to guide the following pillar. How do you want to measure success as an entrepreneur or leader? Take the time to outline your key success metrics. Does that include the number of likes or followers or comments or shares that your social media posts garner? When you've taken the time and you've clarified that, that's when, if you find yourself feeling pushed, pulled, or pressured by social media, you can whip out your key success metrics and ask yourself what is most important to you and your business. You can remind yourself and dedicate yourself to focusing on your key metrics. The third M in the framework and the third pillar is motivation. Motivation might be one of the most important and challenging aspects of entrepreneurship and leadership that you have to handle for yourself and your teams. As you clarify the meaning you assign to social media and the way you handle measurement inside your business, making sure not to mix up social media with your key success metrics, you can start tapping into and understanding how your thoughts, feelings, and beliefs are affecting your motivation, which in turn affect your choices and your actions. When you recognize that you might be relying and depending on social media as a placeholder or generator of business, sales, or revenue growth, you can start to see that you are creating an imaginary blueprint for success, one with social media success at its foundation, on top of which you assume that sales, profit, and growth will automatically flow. By the way, this is a very commonly spouted belief and assumption. How often do people point and say, look, this person has 10,000, 100,000, or a million or more followers and talk about how successful they are or must be? But that's like digging a foundation and building it up assuming that the rest of the house will just fall out of the sky into perfect place. There's a big set of assumptions underlying that process. And those assumptions set up a very specific set of motivations. It's one thing if social media is part of your marketing, your business generation, your sales strategy, and it's another if you're feeling pressured by the likes, the comments, and the number of followers that you have. If you catch yourself experiencing thoughts like, if I can just reach the next benchmark for likes, my post will go viral. If my post goes viral, I'll start to get more followers, and then I'll hit my next benchmark for followers. And once I have more followers, they'll see the posts where I market my products, and then they're going to want to buy. And then I'll reach my next business growth or revenue goal. If you hear yourself having a chain of thoughts like that, it can be like a house of cards, which might belie and ignore other very important processes that drive growth and success. And even if that might be true, that string of thoughts places them in sequence one after the other after the other, as if they can occur rapidly in a few minutes, hours, days, or weeks. But each one depends on the next, and there's no room for setbacks, mistakes, or errors. There's no room to adapt. It's not about a strategy. In other words, in that case, it's often a fantasy that's built on an automatic thought, a belief that having more posts, likes, comments, and followers is the generator or indicator of business growth and success. And instead, to go back, to reverse a little bit, you need to clarify the first two M's, meaning and measurement. One last point here. It's so important to be clear why you chose to become an entrepreneur, why you decided to lead a specific business, what you want out of your business, why leadership matters to you, and what you want to accomplish and experience at the end of your day, week, month, year, and at the end of your life. Why is a question that looks deeper into the core purpose of your entrepreneurial and leadership drive. Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why, is a helpful place to dig into and understand more deeply how essential it is both for you and for your business. Thinking about why is deeply connected to what is meaningful to you, and it's at the core of your internal motivation. Clarifying and keeping your compass pointed towards your why is both how you stay on track and pushing forward. Not only can it help you with social media, it can help you with shiny object syndrome, and it can help you be intentional and stay on track towards success for you and your company. Because shiny object syndrome isn't about the shiny objects. It's about how we think, feel, consider, choose, and act. The shiny object syndrome is more about us than it is about the shiny object. Often, we aren't even aware of it, but once we are aware, we can get on the road to being more intentional. And now you have some tools to help you do just that. To recap, today we dug into understanding the push, pull, and pressure of social media and how to handle it. I shared my 3M framework and walked you through understanding how and why you experience social media as you do. Plus, I guided you with questions to consider and help you align yourself in ways that can shift your relationship with social media as an entrepreneur. So this is your call to get to work and be more intentional. And if you have any questions or want a few more pointers, you know where to find me. So on that note, I'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us today on the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai. If you enjoyed today's episode, take a moment to rate and review the podcast. It helps grow the show and gives more people like you the ability to learn and grow. You can also click the share button to share today's episode directly with someone you know who would enjoy it. The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai podcast artwork is made by Sam Barkadari, show notes by Yishai Barkadari, and music by www.purple-planet.com. The advice and opinions of the host and guests are our own. I'm a psychologist, but not your psychologist. The conversations and content of this podcast do not contain or create any psychology practice, diagnosis, or therapist-patient relationship with either the guest or the listener. So do your own research before using anything from this podcast. Thank you for listening. Remember, our thoughts and reactions affect our actions. By listening, we can learn from the challenges others face and the choices they make, so that we can make better decisions and get better results.